Tired of your sound taking up too much space in your house? Well, Soundbite, SOUNDBYTE, has a solution for you. Are you constantly trying to find more storage space for your clothing, Tupperware, and sound? At Soundbite, you can hear lots of little audio clips, instead of having big, large ones that require vacuum sealing or even buying a storage space. Save space this holiday season and go to Soundbite, the app. SOUNDBYTE.
Okay, welcome to Hack Thought Podcast, a podcast about thoughts you don't think to think about. Every once in a while, we do what's called a rapid hack thought, which is just little thoughts that we have to get through. Not necessarily secrets, but little known facts about you. Do you have any little known facts that you think people, just in general, not the audience, just, you know, at large, don't know about you?
Kind of put me on the spot here. People don't know that I have this one spot on my chin that excretes orange juice.
It's like you don't understand where the comedy's going to come from sometimes. It's like you are being a gill clown. Dog, don't just make a joke.
I can't believe you joked about my condition like that. I am a man who excretes orange juice out of his chin, and you're making fun of me. You're calling it a joke?
I come from a family of people that excrete grapefruit juice from their chin. Little known fact about you. Come on, dig.
Mandible juice, they call it. Anyway, little known fact about me. I went to...
I'll share one first so you can have time to think, which was an option that you could have said instead of your thing. I, for example, always find backup dancers like mesmerizing and hilarious. There's an ironic and both genuine joy of like backup dancers. I think their dancing is stupid, but I think it's like great that there's a bunch of people doing it at the same time. I get genuine, whatever my emotion is, whether I think it's dumb or whether I think it's cool, I get genuine enjoyment from backup dancers in any form. Any kind of backup dancing I find very entertaining. I like good dancing as well, but I like, I better like backup dancing, which is like...
So you could take the most boring event of all time. You know, you could take the reading of the alphabet from Jesus.
That would be fairly interesting. just to let you know.
A, B...
I mean, right at a certain point, if Jesus came back, I would get bored of him if he was around for a really long time. But I got to say, right now, I've never met Christ of Nazareth, or wherever he comes back in. I would find that fairly interesting. It's not my ideal thing I want to watch Jesus doing, but if I got to choose one, if it was one of the options, I probably would see how he interpreted the alphabet.
Water boiling.
It doesn't matter.
Water boiling.
It doesn't matter. Don't think about it that way. I always find it interesting. That's a little known thing about me. I always find it interesting. I've always like watching whenever it is and people have backup dancers. If it's legitimate, backup dancing attempt, I like it. Sometimes I like it ironically. Sometimes I like it unironically. I always like it. Doesn't matter how bad it is. If it's a legitimate attempt to do it, I like it.
Okay. A little bit known fact about me. I'm a pernicious yam farmer.
Great. You know,
I got yams out the wazoo. You want like, yams? I got like, yams, baby.
It's like, there's two versions of this. You're like, you're calling me out on the spot here. And so a lot of people would say you had a good amount of time to make a good joke. That is just fake. You are a gill clown. This is jokes for children. It's just not true.
Oh, my God. I'm appalled. I'm going to go back
to
my farm.
Tell me some stuff about yams.
What's that?
You mother, tell me some stuff about yams right now.
Oh, God. Okay, so I usually so they're great year-round.
If I leave, Mike, are you okay with that? If I just go and start doing other stuff?
Yeah, go ahead. We're going to wrap up here.
I mean, I'm not even close to the mic. Yeah, talk about yams. Let's see how much out of this joke. Look, I'll admit, the first line of a joke doesn't have to be perfect. It's a podcast. It's long form. You got 4 minutes to make me laugh about yams.
All right, so I start of the year, I grab my almanac from the local pharmacy and, read about when the big days are for when to plant shit, when to harvest shit. And, I go to town. So day one, whatever the solstice is, farming solstice, go out into the woods. Or not the woods, you go to my backyard and, start digging up holes, start throwing the yam seeds in there. And do it kind of aggressively, too. You're like, get some anger out. You know, if you have frustrations in your personal life, really just fucking fling them in there. You got your are they ever yam seeds? I think you just throw old yams. Yeah, that's right. You just throw old yams into the ground. You know, hopefully you have some left over. I mean, they're fucking delicious. They're fucking delicious. You know, chop them up. You got caramelization going on. Because they're sweet, you know? They're sweeter than a fucking orangutan's breast milk, if you farm them right. So so during the farming solstice, I'm just angrily pounding my backyard with these old yams from the last harvest, right? And then you don't even have to water them. Don't even have to water them. That's the beauty of yams. This is the beauty of yams. They barely need water. Nature's taking its course. It rains a lot in my town. Takes care of business. I look up the harvesting solstice in the almanac, which is about, I would say, about 4 weeks later. And I dig them up. I start digging them up. Now, there's some new yams. And sometimes I'm just digging up the old yam that I throw in there. But either way, I got a potato. Okay? And then that's the beauty of yams, baby.
This has been Hack Thought Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. Every week I value any time any listener puts into it. But I have to say, from the bottom of my heart, for the last 3 minutes, thank you so much for listening. thank you. I mean, really, thank you. There's a lot of things I have to thank you for, but just thank you. Thank you for hearing it. I'm glad someone else shared in it. That's it. Yam farmer. Stop recording. And the restaurant saga continues. Now, you may have heard in the past weeks me describe what the restaurant saga is, and you may think, well, certainly, this is something that the two hosts agreed upon. Because remember when they were on air, if you're a fan of the show, and we talked about the restaurant saga. The restaurant saga being Hack Thoughts specifically about restaurants. And specifically about how I find restaurants and the waiter, waitress, server system stupid. And sort of demeaning to both diner and to the worker. You would think, oh, the two hosts of the show aren't on the same page. Let me tell you how this relationship works with my fucking co-host, Deepu Gill. Okay? Here's what this fucking Gill Clown Burger Boy does. I say something to him, and then I assume someone comes behind him with either fairy dust or some sort of Looney Tunes-esque hammer, perhaps the angels from Doctor Who, and he literally forgets everything. But because there's a mind in there, there's some Burger Boy brain working. He knows it's like Memento. He knows something. He doesn't write it down like Memento, but he knows there's something he's supposed to do. So enjoy the restaurant saga and enjoy the intro of Deepu explaining throughout this entire of his interviews. It's just the wrong thing we're investigating. He does do a good job finding waiters, which of course is our division of labor here. Deepu will be interviewing people in the service industry, and I will be interviewing people who have a little bit more agency. Which is not been really true so far, but at the same time, that's his job. He went out and he found waiters. That much is good. He talked about that. It's like having a bad student who you think has some brilliance in them, but they've also been held back like in senior year like 92 times. Not like 4 or 5 years or whatever, like 98 times. They're 100 years old. It's just like, why am I waiting for this guy to get this? He's just not going to read Catcher in the Rye. Deepu Gill.
Let's turn it off.
Okay.
It's the same.
Exactly the same.
Yeah, it's almost the same. I'm okay with that.
All right.
All right, let's just record a couple of seconds of room tone. All right, cool. All right, this is Deepu here, R2 Deepu, the one, the only, the co-host of Hack Thought Podcast, with our special investigative report, part one of the new saga, investigating the disgusting underbelly of waiters and waitresses. this is very important stuff. All right, so we have our first guest here, Matt Levy, comedian Matt Levy. Say hi. Say
big
hi.
Fan of Hack Thought.
Nice.
Love Deepu. R2 Deepu is my favorite name in the game.
Thank you, bro. Yeah, so...
C3 Deepu was taken.
So, I'm not a waiter. I've never been a waiter. I've kind of been in the service industry. I walked dogs briefly for WAG.
That's a service.
That's a service industry. You know, yeah. It's, you know, you get tips based on that. So, basically, you know, the service industry is the one... is the one line of work in America where they are paid like way less than minimum wage and typically like with tips or commission mm-hmm. or something like that.
Yeah.
So we are, you know, my co-host and I were like so perplexed about why that is. Like, why can't they just have a minimum wage for waiters? So let's can you just explain your experience?
Sure.
Working in that realm.
Before I do, I think that they have upped the minimum wage in the state of New York to 15.
Okay.
And I think that's kind of consistent for waiters now. I don't
really
know. Maybe. I don't want to debunk the whole podcast.
Okay. All right.
But
so
I think that's relatively new. But my experience mm-hmm. was not that.
Okay. Sure.
I have done a lot of service industry stuff, but my main experience waiting tables was, I want to take you back to the summer of 08, Deepu.
Ooh, take me there.
I remember it was the day George Carlin died. It was one of my first weeks there.
Oh my god.
Yeah. And I was working at a kosher deli called Siegel's.
Okay.
And they had a restaurant in the back, and I would wait tables there for a 6'10" Chinese chef who made kosher Chinese food to nice Jewish couples. Occasionally, people that weren't Jewish would come in.
Mm-hmm.
But they gave me one stipulation on my very first day on the job for pay. And it was kind of a weird ultimatum. And they said, would you rather make $3 an hour with tips
uh-huh.
or a flat $8? And I was like, do I get dinner both ways? And they were like, yep. You get dinner no matter what.
Oh, said, they knew they had you when you
I'll
said...
I'll take eight. I can't gamble. I don't know anything.
Oh, you took the eight.
I took the eight with no tips. I didn't accept a single tip that entire summer.
Wow.
Yeah. And I didn't
okay,
make
so,
much money. I
so
made
looking back,
an hour.
Looking back, did you feel like you should have gone with the tips? Or you should have...
I don't know, because it was a Jewish place, so I don't think I would have gotten that many tips to begin with.
Oh, yeah. That's some real talk right there.
Yeah, well...
Knowing the customer base... And knowing how they behave is an important calculation. Was that why you went with the $8 in the first place, you fucking racist?
I probably should have worked there to begin with. I got the job, and in the interview, I am Jewish
uh-huh.
by birth.
Okay.
But I'm not very culturally or spiritually Jewish.
Okay.
On the record. But I did wear a yarmulke to the interview
oh,
to seal
okay.
the deal.
Nice.
And they bought it. They bought that I... knew a little bit of Hebrew.
You little hammed up the jewelry.
Not exactly kosher, but yes, I hammed it up.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
All right, so was that the only experience you had in that?
Well, I've definitely worked other jobs where they paid me insanely low amounts of money. I was a food runner at the Tempe Improv.
Okay.
Which was...
So that's a comedy club, right?
Yeah, it was...
Just to clarify.
Yeah, stand-up comedy club.
So you were kind of... Were you doing that experience to, like, work your way up in the club or just to work?
Honestly... It was cool just soaking in the experience. There was no real, mm-hmm. like, breaking the ranks as a food runner. You didn't run the food
right.
and then
well,
get on the stage.
That's apparently Chris Rock's story, I think. He was, like, flipping the chairs over at night, and then Friedman was like, hey, you. God damn
honestly,
it.
Honestly, other than that, our trajectory has been identical.
Ari Shaffir thinks you're not that great.
Yeah. Ari Shaffir has been calling me overrated for years. Honestly, I liked working at the Tempe Improv. Food running, you don't make much money.
Mm-hmm.
You do split tips with the front of the house, which is like the waiters and whatever.
Evenly. Is it even split?
Or I don't think so. Like,
yeah, it can't
be that. The wait staff makes quite a bit, but it is mm-hmm. stressful because it's 600 customers, and you need to get them their food fast because the checks have got to drop.
Yep.
10 minutes with the headliner left. And one time I had a big platter of food that you got to carry, probably 30, 40 pounds of food, and you have to know exactly where each plate goes, which is, I was already sweating thinking about this. It's really stressful. And I slipped. I fell.
Oh, no.
With all the food. And I landed on my back.
Mid-comedy show.
I wish. This was actually in the kitchen.
Oh, okay.
So all of my coworkers saw me. And the chefs that just made,
they made
all this food have to redo it because there's a puddle. It was horrible. Dude. It was so incredibly painful. But that was a fun job. Mm-hmm. Other than that exact moment. Mm-hmm. Literally... weirdest getting to see behind the scenes of comedy job that you could ever have.
Yeah, I feel like you get to learn about the business of comedy, like the real raw business of it. Yeah. Like it comes down to people have to come in, they have to buy drinks, they have to buy burgers. The door fee is like, it's okay, but it's really about the upsell, all this stuff.
It's insane. You go anywhere but New York and 600-700 people come out to see headliners.
So you brought up an interesting skill that someone of that job position has to have, the memorization of all the orders.
The worst. It's a nightmare.
I know some people that, like, you know, that deal with that. They're just very good at it. But, like, I never got into, like, the nitty-gritty of, like, that learning process. How bad was it at first?
Honestly, I once gave the wrong thing to someone. It was popcorn shrimp. They ate some. I realized I took it away, and I didn't want to bring it back, so I just brought it to the next person, and I never told a soul.
That's so weird.
I know. So someone out there is missing two popcorn shrimp.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, but best part of all these jobs, as much as they're painful, and I'm sure everyone can attest, the family dinner is incredible. You get something at the end of the meal where you're like, I'm going to get exactly what I want on this menu, exactly how I want it made.
Mm-hmm.
It's incredible.
Wait, you That's get to order. Part of the so you get to industry. Order. You get to order the family dinner, your family dinner meal.
Yeah. So, all right. At the Tempe Improv, I get like sliders with chicken fingers, no fries, because just entrees for me.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the... I worked at Subway, and I had a special sub that I would make every... I would tinker every day till I got it exactly right.
Oh,
I worked at the Jewish place, and they had, like, this incredible walnut chicken. I've never seen it anywhere before or since.
Mm-hmm.
So good. It was, like, Thousand Island-style...
cream sauce on outside.
It was, like... Yeah, it was, like, cream sauce.
Yeah, I've heard of it. I've heard of walnut shrimp, and I guess they did walnut chicken.
Yeah, it was so good.
It's, like, mayo with maple syrup and soy and sesame oil and stuff.
It was unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Yeah, it looks good. I've never had it.
It's like sesame chicken, basically. Oh, man. I'm nostalgic for that right now. It was fantastic. But, yeah, I mean, service industry, it has its ups, it has its downs. But you get to talk to people all day, and it's fun.
Is it viable? Is it viable as a work way of life?
Well, now with $15 as a minimum wage, I want to say yes. I don't think you could support a family.
Okay, so the guy working on 15 can't support a family.
He can theoretically live, he or she can theoretically live with five roommates in New York City and scrape by, maybe have two jobs. But, I mean, it's fun. The shifts go by fast. You don't even think. By the end of the shift, you're like, holy shit, that was 8 hours.
And you're not worried
about...
And
you're on your feet and you're losing weight because you're up.
Yeah, you're just...
Eating what you like. If you like the food at the restaurant.
There is... I bet you do like the gamification of the job. Like, you got to just be told what to do.
Yeah.
And you got to just do it. And that's kind of...
I'm a manual labor man, dude.
So am I, dude. All the way.
I love lack of creativity in anything that's my job.
I
hope my boss doesn't listen to this.
Nah, whatever. But, no, he won't. So, that's interesting.
Did you just assume my boss was a man?
Oh shit, I knew I had to just not live stream this. Alright, cool. Would you change it? Would you change the system? Well, I mean, obviously without just saying, oh, let's get paid more.
I change the system for servers?
Yeah, I mean, it looks like it sounds like it's being changed.
Speak, well, Danny Meyer specifically pays all of his servers more, so tipping is out of the question.
Gotcha.
Yeah, tipping is an antiquated system and really puts a lot of pressure on the customer.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, every comedian, myself included, has bits about this, but it's like, now I have to rate you on the service?
Yeah.
Like, that sucks. Just charge me more and don't make it weird. Yeah. It's antiquated and it's mean, and it's like, you have to, literally every time you go to a bar, just pouring a drink, you have to give someone an extra dollar. Just charge me that price. Mm-hmm. It's so weird. Like, there's this intense, like, you owe me kind of attitude, and
yep.
Servers end up bitter because they feel like they deserve more.
I can see that, yeah.
Yeah, cool, I mean, I had a theory, this will be the last thing I say.
Sure.
For tipping, I would say when I worked at Luke's Lobster for a year and a half and I moved here, I wouldn't expect a tip if just you came in and ordered one thing. But mm-hmm. if you were a family and you ordered more than $50 worth of stuff, that's like 5 minutes of work and kind of throws us off our game.
Mm-hmm.
I would say tip right here. So they knew that we were expecting a tip, even though it was just counter service. So I would make it very clear after a while.
Mm-hmm.
And I was the leading tip getter for the entire company.
Nice. You took that initiative,
mm-hmm.
got those tips.
I was like, there's no way that, what's his name? Character actor, was bigger in the 90s. He would come in, he's like a New York, Michael Rapaport came in. He didn't tip us a cent on like a $115 order.
Oh shit, and drop the, like, drop the bombs.
Sure. Fuck Michael Rapaport.
Wait, you mean like the tall guy? No, that's
you. You might recognize him.
He's always playing like a New York-y sort of
guy.
He's
very New York-y.
Okay, I know him. He's on sports shows a lot.
So all the time, yes. Yeah. Not a cent, but he didn't even know. And I said tip here, and it just went in and out of his ear, man. It didn't register.
That guy's a prick.
Yeah.
He's fucking tall guys, man. I can't stand him.
What are you, Daniel J. Parafan?
All right, Matt. Thanks for coming on, man.
My pleasure, man.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for serving me.
How can we find you? What, do you have a podcast or a Twitter handle or something?
I have a Twitter handle, @MattLevy51. That's the best way to find me.
All right, cool. Find him. Follow him. Let him know you heard him from here. Peace.
Are we going to clap? Okay.
Thanks, all right. Dude. Yeah, this is...